Greetings, greetings, my mystics. Praises be to the Most High. Abundant black new moon to us all, right? Without darkness, there is no light. So today I thought it just fitting to sit in with a gentleman that's a client of mine. And as we develop our relationship, I understand the importance of his mindset and stage and how we present this to the universe. So today I have Tabari with me. And we're definitely going into mental health. Tabari?
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Listen, he literally pulled up on me and we're like, where can we go to sit and do this? So we're actually sitting outside in the back of some building offices just making it work. There's no excuse, you know, as to why we cannot get this done. So Tabari, like I tell everybody once they come on, if there's anything that we're speaking about and you just say, eek, it's a little too much, we can always pull back.
Okay.
Right? Because we can have session 1, 2, 3 to 59, so don't you worry, okay?
Okay.
But today I think it's pretty dope that I'm seeing a lot of black men now being open to therapy or sitting and talking with someone other than, you know, self or people that they may feel may cast a judgment on them.
Right.
I'm loving the fact that our black men are saying, listen, we need help and how can we get this? But when I first met you, your dad was very transparent with me.
Yeah.
And there was just something about your silence that seriously intrigued me to be like, I want to work with this gentleman.
Okay. Right.
Mm-hmm. And we developed that relationship.
Yeah.
You know, and we've been through, and now you my client, now you my dog, and now I want you to share, you know, because when people hear of mental health, I don't think they get a true feeling if they've never gone through something that's, you know, affected them on that magnitude.
Right.
You know, and they're different kinds and they show up in different ways and different places and different things. So I want you, Tabari, because when I met your dad, he was like, listen, he went to another land.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was like, he just was in another dimension.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and without force, I kind of just was like, how can we get into this? More so because a lot of people are even committing suicide right now because, you know, of this depression.
Right.
And this anxiety.
And I've been there.
You've been there. And I want you to, because I want them to hear you, right? So I'm just going to throw a few things out there and then I'm just going to let you run it, right?
Okay.
So what I want to hear from you from this first interview is, when did you notice this change within yourself? When did it start? When did you start to feed into it? When did you take that trip? And when you did, how the fuck did you come back? You know, like, I want to know. I want to hear this, you know. I want this breakdown. I want, you know, talk to us.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, my first spiritual feeling came to me when I was around 4 or 5 years old back home.
Okay.
I came home from school one day and my mom was sweeping the yard, and we lived in a little house in Spanish Town where my grandfather built with his own two hands, you know?
I know, that's right.
And it was sitting on blocks. It wasn't the fanciest thing, but we had humble beginnings, you know? And so my mother was sweeping the yard, and I came home and I sat on the steps and I was listening to the radio. And I said to myself, no, man, there has to be a better life than this.
Oh.
So fast forward now, my aunt sponsored us and I lived in Canada for a year, and I was living in New York. Spent most of my life in New York, and when I was 16.
How old are you now?
37.
Okay.
Yeah. And I got to New York when I was around 6 years old. And I spent most of my life up there. Had a hard time because, you know, when you're from a different country and you speak with an accent and your skin color is kind of darker than the rest, Mm-hmm. You know, you go through a lot of ridicule.
Yeah. And he's chocolate, y'all. Like, real chocolate. Like, he looks like burnt chocolate, okay? The chocolate that you put on peanut cakes and stuff. For real. But, go on.
Yeah, yeah. So, you don't really have anyone to really rely on at such a young age other than friends, but they wouldn't understand, you know,
mm-hmm.
because they're from here. And I always try to connect to people that's also from a different country.
Okay.
So I can relate to them on that level. But when I was 16, the pressures of life really got to me as far as where I wanted to be and
where did you want to be?
I always felt like I was destined for greatness.
Okay.
But I don't know where the greatness lies.
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
And I was very artistic. So I would always draw my feelings and emotions. And I always dealt with creative writing ever since I learned poetry in my freshman year of high school. And I would write poems and plays and books and stuff like that. I had 32 composition books full with poetry back to front.
Ooh, and where's that material now?
I threw them all away.
What?
Yeah. So, wait, but I'm gonna get to that though. So, this might be a very long interview. But I'll get to
look,
that.
We got some time. It's okay. And if we can't get it all, we can always come back for part two.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure, because I know they're going to want to stay tuned after this.
Yes.
So tell me, so you wrote these books, and then what happened?
Okay, well, I just had them stashed away because they were very dear to me, you know? They were my truest thoughts and emotions that I would just put on paper. So I never really decided to share them with anyone.
Mm.
I always kept them very hidden, much like my art, until I met this lady by the name of Cynthia Bowden. She was my art teacher and she saw potential in me and she really grew me as an artist, you know? And hats off to her because she made me win my first gold medal, Haney medal, when I entered into this art competition for a scholarship.
Dope.
So,
you know, sometimes it really just takes that one person.
Right. To see potential.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. And she was a woman of God, too.
I'm telling you, sometimes it really just takes one person to take a chance on you.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes. I didn't want to come down. I didn't want to move out of New York because I knew if I would have stuck by her, she would have definitely
allowed you to elevate you,
right.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
She would have elevated me, for sure. And I live in Georgia now, but even that was a process. So I got very depressed at age 16. I didn't want to get up out of the bed. I didn't know what was going on. And my mind, normally my mind races 1,000 miles per second.
Mm-hmm.
But when it starts to affect me is when I can't sleep, when I can't eat. My hygiene would always be up to par. That's not a problem. But when I can't sleep
just in
or
case.
Eat. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
When I can't sleep or eat, that's when it becomes a problem. And I'll just be up all night thinking.
Now, is that a buildup for you? Like, does it happen like, okay, day one, this happens. Then day two, this happens to add on to what happened to day one. Like, how does that look, if you were to explain that to someone that has never gone through depression,
mm-hmm.
Is it a build-up? Is it because you feel as if people won't understand your thought process? What does that look? Because for me, I know when, like you said, I know when I'm getting a little depressed.
Yeah,
you know, really and truly, I can feel it coming on.
Yeah, yeah.
I can feel it, and then I can tell myself, like, okay, girl, gear up, because something is about to happen, because I've gone to places, you know, this must have been like the blast of the past for ex, because a lot of exes were, you know, pulling on my energy and reaching out to me.
Yeah,
but,
I've been there.
You know, but I don't even feel like it was for for me and them even doing nothing was a matter of fact of just holding this accountability and going through this. So what does Tabari's depressed mind feel like? What does that build up look like?
It happens very sudden.
Okay.
And it's a very low state of mind where confidence is totally depleted, you know? And you're just...
confused.
Not confused, but you're just in a state where you just don't want to do anything at all, you know? And you feel very low in yourself, very deep depression, deep. And I was the kind of person that felt things emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very sensitive growing up, which is why my mom was always hard on me, because she used to always tell me, you know, I'm black and I'm a man, you know? So those two things are two strikes against me already. And I can't be so sensitive because the world will swallow me up. I mean, the way I would be so sensitive is hurting a fly would make me cry. That's how sensitive I was, and I would feel it emotionally to that extent.
So because, and you know, we Jamaicans and our Jamaican parents, right, always love to talk about tough up.
Yeah.
You know, they always want you to be tough. But did you feel as if she feminized or ridiculed that softer side of you?
Growing up, I understand it now, but growing up, that's how I felt.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I felt like she was very hard on me.
I did that to my son,
just
too.
Just to be hard. You know what I mean?
That I did that with my son, too, and I had to just get off my high horse and just apologize to him two years ago.
Oh, wow.
You know, and told him, I said, listen, I completely overstand that. You know, not because my mother raised me to that capacity that I now have to treat you like this.
Right.
You know, because what if you turn out to be a fucking murderer or something and it's because of what I contributed and put into my son. So because of that, you know, 2 years ago, I had to apologize to him and say, listen, I was a struggling mom, not a bad mom.
Right.
You know, and the way I was mothering you was the way I was taught to by my mom.
Right.
So I had to like kind of invent myself all over again to deal with him.
Mm-hmm.
So coming from both of us coming from Jamaica, I completely overstand because our parents are so freaking tough on us.
Yes.
You know, especially the boys. It's like they expect their boys, especially if you're just the only boy too.
Right.
You know, my brother is, see? And my brother is the only boy too. And it's just like, you know, they expect these high expectations from their boys.
Yes.
You know, and I was doing that too. And when I realized that it just wasn't working for him, you know, I just said, let me pull back and allow him to grow at his pace and allow him to be, because he's not a rah-rah guy. He's very sensitive. And
right. So and that's how I was. But I slowly turned into
a rah-rah
guy. I felt like I was forced to be that way, but it wasn't me. So I wouldn't show that side often.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I remember in high school, I was a part of a crew called Black Diamond,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
A West Indian crew called Black Diamond, because we West Indians decided to stick together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, shout out to Biggs and Shangol and man like them, because if you weren't getting good grades, you couldn't be on it. You couldn't hang out.
There you go.
You know? So they really looked out for you. On that level, on the academic level.
There you go.
You know? Yeah, and they were a cool group of guys, man. And the many fights we got into, I mean, I can talk about it for days.
Yeah. But let me ask you this. When you say you didn't want to get out the bed, what did your parents do at that time?
Oh, well, my mom was always working, so she was hardly at the house.
Okay.
And my dad... he did carpet work, so he would leave out in the morning. I wouldn't come home.
So you had
like
room just to do nothing.
5 o'clock. Yeah, so I had room to just lay in the bed all day. But my friend at the time, my very close friend, he's like a brother to me, Curtis Lara. Nephew to Brian Lara, the
I was about to say, the cricketer,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, I was about to say,
that's
hold
his
up.
Uncle, yeah.
Okay.
But, he always encouraged me to do good.
Mm-hmm.
And you need friends like that, you know, mm-hmm. you need people around you like that. And he always talked to me, if he ever see me going left, he would say, no, you're going left. Mm-hmm. If he ever see me going right, he would say, no, you're going right. And he would keep me on that straight path, mm-hmm. you know. And one time, I remember when I would be at the house, if I would miss school for like a day or two, he would come to the house and make sure he found me to bring me to school and give me that encouragement that I need to get up out of the bed, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. When you tripped out, where did you go?
Oh, wow. Okay. It's like I was in this world and everything looked the same, but it was in ancient times.
Mm.
I can't really explain it, man. But I can definitely tell you the story. Fast forward to 2008. When we first moved down here, I'm a very spiritual person and I see spirits and stuff like that, you know? And it stems from my grandmother and her sister. My grandmother's a twin and her sister's a twin.
Mm.
And they're all spiritual ladies
mm-hmm.
and prayer warriors and things like that. And so
grandmothers are first witches, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
So when we moved down here, after a couple of days, I saw this spirit in the house. Like, these two ladies walked through the back door. You know how women used to dress in slavery times,
mm-hmm,
right?
With
their
mm-hmm.
hair tie and mm-hmm. the long frock and,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Victorian dresses and so on. And one stood on the left, one stood on the right, and they were doing, like, a bowing thing.
Like, welcome.
I guess that was what it was.
Yeah.
But I said to my mom, you know, I see these two spirits and they're doing this and they're standing here. And she was just like, go to your bed. And, you know, and making a whole bunch of noise. So I said, okay. After a while, I didn't see them anymore. So I said, all right, it passed. And that was the first time I've ever told her that I see spirits and stuff.
Yeah.
So she was very freaked out. But it didn't bother me much because that's something that I saw normally.
Yeah.
From time to time.
So let me ask you this. As a spirit worker myself, how did that look for you in your mind all them years? Being that you were able to see them from four, I know you're in 2008,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Did the depression come from the fact that you couldn't tell anyone?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
The fact that I felt like no one would understand.
Okay.
You know? And so, what my understanding to what my mom did was she went to church and told the pastor's wife what happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the pastor's wife said to her, that's not normal. She needs to take me for an evaluation. And this is a pastor's wife, you know. I have to stress that fact. So I said, okay. The day she came and she said she's going to take me to viewpoint to get an evaluation, I started arguing with her in my mind. I felt like this peace come over me, so I said, all right, I'll go with you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I went with her to the evaluation, and the doctor is asking me questions, and she's answering. My mom is answering, and the doctor said to me, no, my mom said to me, to the doctor, actually, and said, I don't know if he's hearing voices or seeing things, but we had an episode at the house. Which is nothing. She was just venting, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor looked at me and said, that sounds like schizophrenia. And I said, no, I don't have no...
Schizophrenia,
I said, I don't have no effing schizophrenia. I'm going through something spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
So then...
So let me ask you this. Being that you were aware of the fact that you were going through something spiritual with the depression...
Mm-hmm.
Did you already have it in your mind that you were going to beat this?
Yes.
Got you.
Yeah.
So you just basically allowed your body to go through that period.
Right. I just had to go through the process.
Okay.
And so I was arguing with the doctor, and the doctor turned to my mom and said, do you want me to call the bus to pick him up?
What?
And My mom said yes.
Oh my God.
So they locked me in the hospital in the mental ward, and to get out, you have to take the medication.
Oh my God.
And I don't know what medication they were giving me, and this is from 2008, but when I took it and I got out,
it zombied you.
I was never the same.
Are you the same now?
No, because I've gone through so many different changes in the meanwhile.
But how did that affect your relationship with your mom, being that she freaking let them put you in the hospital?
Well, it kind of put a distance between us.
Yeah.
Because I felt very alone.
Yeah.
I felt very like, okay, well, I definitely can't tell her anything now.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Because it's just going to make things worse for me. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Man, so it was messing with my psyche, but.
It's 555, by the way. That's so real. It's 555. Yeah, sending for real. This is real, though. Yeah. It's real. Go on, boo. I'm listening. Go on.
So, but it really didn't bother me until I was living with my aunt in Sweetwater. And she had these apartments over there, and I was living with her. And normally, I'm the last person out the door every morning. But this morning, I was the first person out, and I was facing the bushes of the apartment. And I said to, and I was reasoning with God, and that's something that I do normally.
Right.
I would smoke my cigarette or smoke a Black and Mild and just reason with God. So this particular day, I was smoking a Black and Mild, and I was reasoning with God, and I said to God, if you show me you're real, I'll praise you.
All right.
And not even a second later, my body just turned and I saw an angel in the sky flying with a horn.
I know, that's right.
And after I saw that angel, I told my aunt that I saw the angel, and I saw this demon try to swallow me up while I was telling my aunt. And then from then, I was just seeing angels and interacting with these beings, and I would see demons, and me not knowing the spiritual side of things and how to deal with these things spiritually, I was fighting them the natural way.
Absolutely.
And greeting them
which
the natural way.
Which is tiring your entire being out.
Yes. And interacting them with the natural way, and my parents and or people around me couldn't see these things, and they would think I'm going mad, but I wasn't going
mad. Did you
hurt
yourself in any way?
When I was 16 and I was depressed, yeah, I used to cut myself.
Okay.
But not during that process, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, when you cut yourself, what kind of, was it a gratifying feeling? Like, what, how did that feel?
Okay. Well, I felt like it was lessening my emotional pain. I felt like if I cut myself and give myself physical pain, I would feel that pain over the emotional. And
that is why I am heavily tattooed.
Yeah.
Every time I go through something and I come through the victor, I put that bitch on my body.
Wow.
It's that pain that I have to feel so I can remember that feeling.
Yes.
Never to fucking go back.
Right, exactly.
That's so fucking facts.
Exactly, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, and these beings will be teaching me things. They would teach me how to worship. The angels would teach me how to worship. And
so you were guided through spirits?
Yeah, guided by angels.
Yeah.
Literal angels with wings. I would see them.
And that pulled you out?
Well, when I went to, my mom took me to a church in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And from the moment the pastor seen me, she accepted me, and she knew what I was going through. And she talked to me, and she explained to me that what I'm going through is linked with my destiny.
Mm.
And she said, this is something that I have to go through, and I have to see it to the end.
Mm.
But I'm going to have a lot of distractions and a lot of people I don't understand, and they're going to become a distraction. But keep focused, she said. And so, yeah, I kept focused. And even people that I haven't even seen before, I would see them in my vision. And
you had the vision
years
to
down
see
the
before
line,
it appears.
Yeah, years down the line, I would see them live.
Yeah.
Real in person. And I would say to myself, well, she was in my vision doing this or as this. So I wonder if she's still that now, or, you know what I mean? Or am I just seeing her in real time to let me know that
this is real?
These people are real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
So when did you decide, what year did you decide to say, you know what, Tabari, depression is a thing. It is a state of being. When did you decide to step out of that? What did you use as your mark, you know, to get out of that? How does that affect your interactions with your relationships? Like, you know, because I know I probably wouldn't even have no more trust left with my damn self after this point. I'd have been like, oh, fuck all that extra shit. You know what I mean? Like, seriously. So, comfortably, can you go into a relationship saying, I've gone to another dimension, but I'm working on me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because I'm the kind of person that accepts change.
Okay.
I don't fight change at all. And if I go through something, I see what I can get out of it to make me a better person.
There you go.
And in 2019, I was a very angry person because I have so much built up inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
I had so much emotional pain and emotional things running up inside of me. And in 2019, I got locked up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt like God took me out of society and put me in a secluded place where I can vent. And so I was just in myself, venting.
Speak it.
They hardly fed me. Ooh. They hardly let me shower. They hardly let me out. The door was closed and I was just in there venting. By the time I came out, I was a total different person.
Oh, my God.
A total different person. I was more calm.
Mm.
I can think clearly.
Mm.
I was just different.
I guess you're now walking on the same path, just on different, just a chalk line away from each other.
Yeah,
because,
yeah,
you know, it was my anger that landed me in jail for 3 days too, you know. And,
yeah.
And I too needed that solitude in so many ways.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I love when, this is what you call alignment, you know. This is what you call alignment for sure. You know, because, man, a lot of people are struggling out here.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and if they don't have, and this is why I tell people, if you don't have a strong mind to bring yourself back from it, this is where.
Yeah, it'll swallow you
it
up.
It swallows you mm-hmm. up. You know, you have to master your mind right now because everybody's going batshit crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. How do you feel now? Do you feel like you, something can trigger you back to that easily, or are you more concrete with self now?
Now, I'm more concrete with myself. I'm more okay. Sure of myself. Though at times the confidence level may deplete a little tiny bit,
mm-hmm.
but I call that me being humble.
Okay.
You know, because no matter what you go through in life, you always have to be a humble person.
Right? Mm.
And I feel like some things would come into your life to humbleize you no matter how good things are going.
Mm.
You know? That's why bad things happen when things
new
are
new level,
good.
New devil.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I think I'm a very more calm, I'm less to react, I'm more to think before I speak or act. And before I was a very reactive person. And I was a very private person. But now I'm able to talk about my emotions, talk about my feelings. And that's something that a lot of men have yet to get to that point.
Absolutely.
And I feel like once we trust somebody to that point where we can speak about our thoughts and emotions, then, yeah, will be a better person, you know?
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. We just need a little bit more of that honesty.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, a little bit more of that transparency.
Right.
You know, and also comes with comfortability because if we don't, like you said, if we don't feel like we can trust that person, then we tend to shy away from it.
Right.
You know?
Right. And I can tell you from a guy's point of view, the person that we would look to speak to would be our significant other.
Yeah. Because what's so crazy for me is, you know, for me, there's something about being in a relationship that makes me just want to thrive.
Right.
You know, just I just want to just because I feel like this is my partner and we should be able to. And then there's this other side of me that's just very okay with saying, you know what, if I have to step away from that scene to cultivate who it is, you know, whether I got to build that motherfucker through my mental process till it becomes physical, you know, I'm also okay with doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something about, I mean, we can share our successes with people that we love, but there's something about having a supportive partner that just makes the fucking world of a difference.
Yes.
You know, it's like, you
especially
know,
when chips hit the ground.
Yes,
you know?
Man.
Mm-hmm.
It's to find someone that's going to be with you in those, like you say, humility, humble fucking states.
Yes.
You know, my mentor have never, people from when I was little, they'd be like, oh, you too much. And now I'm 39 and people are still saying, oh, you're too much. And I'm like, what the fuck is too much?
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
you have said that to me, and I've always wondered, what does
what
that
is
mean?
That,
what
know?
Do you mean by that?
But what I do know is right now we're being put amongst each other as creatives.
Right.
You know, those who are supposed to walk now. Right now it's all about that awareness. It's all about that awareness.
Yeah, yeah.
And now when we're choosing to be aware, it's just so amazing because spirit just starts to align.
Right.
You know, you have to let things just happen naturally nowadays because
right.
when you put too much force and it just mess up the team. It just
yeah, yeah.
it just mess it up.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this because I know we got to wrap it up, but let me ask you this. Have you ever wanted to commit suicide?
Yes.
Have you attempted it?
Yes.
By doing what?
I tried taking pills.
Okay.
Sleeping pills.
Okay.
And I woke up.
Oh my god, that was funny.
No,
that's not funny, but
yeah, yeah, no,
but
not,
I get it. Yeah, I'm not laughing at
no,
the situation.
No, it's okay.
That was funny
yeah,
though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But God said not today.
Yeah, not today.
Okay,
you know?
Okay.
And the last time I tried was when I downed a whole bottle of Ray and Nephews.
Oh my god.
And I was I couldn't breathe afterwards. And I knocked over the phone trying to grasp my breath. And I picked up. And it was that same friend, Curtis Lara.
Oh, my God.
On the line. And he was like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And I said, I can't breathe. And I don't know where he was.
And reached to you.
But he reached to me in like 2 minutes.
I know, that's right.
2 minutes.
You always have your angels.
I don't know how he got in the house, but he came running upstairs, and I used to live in the attic.
Mm.
And he came in the attic, and he was like, what's wrong? And then he dialed 911. 911 told him what to do.
Mm.
And he was in training to be a doctor, you know? Studying to be a doctor at
okay.
the time. So he knew what to do as well. And I was still fighting him to go downstairs for a little bottle because I really was determined to end my life. And I crawled down the stairs, and when I got down to the bottom of the stairs, I saw the ambulance people, and I was crawling, trying to get to that other bottle, man. And one sat on my back.
Even when you couldn't breathe.
Yeah. And he was like, you're strong, this guy's strong. Look at him pulling me just to get where he's going. And they strapped me to the chair, this restraint chair, and I passed out, and I woke up in the hospital.
Oh, my gosh.
But when I passed out, what I saw was I saw two worlds, right?
Mm-hmm.
One light, one dark.
Mm.
The light world was on the left, the dark world was on the right. And I was heading towards the light world, and then I was turning toward the dark world. And right before I can enter in, I saw this white light and my eyes opened.
It wasn't your time.
It wasn't my time. And when my eyes opened, I saw my aunt by my bedside. And the nurses were whispering, wow, that's a miracle, that's a miracle.
Because you were supposed to be dead.
Yeah.
Would you say you're walking in your purpose now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you still working on...
I'm still working on figuring out what exactly is my purpose.
Okay.
I still don't know what that is.
Okay.
If someone can just tell me, hey, this is your purpose, then...
You would totally embody it.
I would totally embody it.
Okay.
But I don't know what it is yet. I feel like
Have you ever asked your spirits?
No.
You should.
But another time I'll tell you about a dream I had.
Don't tell me about a dream now. Because look here.
Yeah.
We can't give them all the juice. If we give them all the juice at once, you think they're going to come back? We can't give them everything.
Yeah, I'll tell you about this
dream. We're going to come back for part two for sure, because these are, you know, as we go through different cycles and periods, I'm definitely going to have to touch back, because we never know who will be helping.
Exactly.
With this.
Exactly.
You know, is there anything you want to tell anyone that feels as if they're going into that state of mind, if they're there and they're just trying to get out of it? Is there anything helpful, you know, you can tell them as a survivor?
Keep faith. Faith in God. Look to your creator. Whoever that may be. Mine is Jesus Christ. But whoever your creator is, keep faith in that.
Okay.
Yeah. And believe in the earth. And I'll tell you about that later.
There we go. We all need it.
Yeah.
I tell people we need the respect elements nature. To go through the elemental sides of things.
Yes. Respect Big nature. Fact. Big time.
Big facts. Big facts.
Yes.
Well, Mr. Tabari, I must say, giving thanks for coming through today, for pulling up on me. You know, and us sitting outside with the birds and the bees and the flowers. This was a real dope vibration, though.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, I had a very testy week myself, but amongst it all, we always come out the victor, right?
Yeah.
Because like you said, our faith has to be bigger than our fear.
Yes.
You know, so I'm giving many thanks for you just coming out, vibing with me, chilling with my people, and just bringing this mental health awareness out a little bit more so people, and I, like I said, our men feeling we're listening.
Yes,
we can do this.
Yes.
Okay. So Tabari, much love for sliding through.
Of course.
Mystics, you're gonna have to stay tuned for what's coming next with him, but this is just the beginning. Y'all have a happy new moon, and I'll catch up with y'all later. Peace.
Yeah, I'm gonna buy some products.
You hear him? He about to buy his products. Come on, baby, let's do it. I'll catch up with y'all. Peace.